But for now, let's go to our scripture reading of the day, and let's go to the book of James. Of course, we're spending a lot of time there. Let's go to James chapter 4. And today, I am going to read verses 6 through 10. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Again, I read out of my New American Standard Bible translation. I will have those words up here on the screen. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Great. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. For these verses, 6 through 10, I'll put those words up here. James chapter 4, verse number 6. God's word says this. This is the word of James, the half-brother of Jesus, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Let's go to God in a time of prayer here this morning. Father, once again, this book of James, one that is so practical in how we need to live our lives as Christians, is teaching us a little bit more here today. So, Father, what is it that we need to learn from these scriptures that we can learn how to be a little more Christ-like in our lives? We just trust you that the Holy Spirit will reveal those things to us here this morning. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We continue in our expository study in the book of James, and this is week number 21. And I've titled today's message, Humble Yourselves, the exact words that James uses in chapter 4, verse number 10. Just a little story time here with Pastor Mike before we get started. Between the years of 1988 and 1993, I worked at Genicom in the technical support group. For 8 hours a day, I was on the telephones taking calls from disgruntled customers who had Genicom printers, and it was my job to fix their printer over the phone if I could. Their printer was not functioning. It was my job to help them get the printer back up and running. For 8 hours a day, I talked to a lot of unhappy campers. Trust me. My job was to diagnose the problem over the phone and fix that problem if I could. And in many cases, I could do that. It was problems that I saw over and over again, and it was a simple fix. But sometimes I had to refer them to make a service call because a part might have been broken, something like that. But while I was in that group, I developed a document that we called the Tech Support Bulletin. And the Tech Support Bulletin would describe a common problem that was found in our printers, the cause of that problem, and the solution to solve that problem. And then I would distribute this bulletin to all the other customer support guys, and there was probably like 10 of us in that group. So once, if we saw this problem, we could easily diagnose it. So every bulletin that I initiated included these three points. A symptom. What was the printer doing? What was the problem? What was the malfunction that the printer had? The cause. What caused the printer to have this particular malfunction? And then the action or the solution. This is what needs to be done to resolve the problem. A symptom, a cause, and an action. Or a problem, the cause, and a solution. And this logical progression right here can be used in and to resolve many different situations and not just broken Genicom printers. And one of those situations can be found right here in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. So let's apply this symptom cause action progression to the situation that James is addressing in these 10 verses of James chapter 4. First, let's talk about the symptom. And actually, we covered a lot of this last week. So kind of a review. What was the symptom James was talking about? Quarrels, conflicts, fights, and even murder. We get that from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And we concluded this, that these are not the actions of people who are supposed to imitate Jesus Christ. Quarrels and conflicts and fights and murder among the brethren, James is saying. So that was the symptom. What about the cause? What caused those things to happen? We identified this from the scriptures. They were asking for wrong things with the wrong motives. And there was a war raging within them. These brethren wanted to satisfy their carnal desires of and pleasures of, and they were named specifically, of lust and envy, and they were not receiving the things that they were asking for. And there was a war raging within them. And we identified this. There is a spiritual war going on inside every Christian. And it is that condition of the human condition, evil, the evil one over here, versus the Holy Spirit that has just now taken up residence in us the day and the moment we became a believer. And there's a war raging within us. The human condition used to always be in charge. But now that we have the Holy Spirit inside us, the human condition is no longer in charge. And now the war begins. And again, we addressed all that last Sunday. And if you'd like to know more about that, that message is up on our Beech Grove website. So now we've identified the symptom, we've identified the cause, and today let's talk about the action or the solution. The solution necessary to resolve this problem that James was seeing and this problem that we all see in our lives called sin. How can we resolve this? And that solution is found in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. And James gives us six courses of action that we can take to resolve this problem. Now, I thought I'd be easy on you today. I'm only going to cover all three. It's because I didn't buy any Snickers bars for you. So we'll cover three solutions today, and we'll cover the other three next Sunday. Let's go to the first one. James 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 10. And I think we can figure this one out because I have the solution underlined there. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. That's what it says. James uses the word humble twice in these verses as part of the solution. Once in verse number 6, and again in verse number 10. So to be humble means that we have to have what quality? If we're humble, we have what? Humility. So let's see how Webster defines humility. Humility, and these definitions are on the inside of your bulletin, top right-hand corner. Humility, according to Webster, freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. The opposite of being humble would be if we are proud. And that's what James is saying. He doesn't want us to be proud. He wants us to humble ourselves. Pride got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. He wanted to be like God. Pride got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They wanted to be like God. So our first fill in the blank is very simple. If we're going to have a course of action to solve our sin problem, number one is this: to be humble, not proud. Very simple. It's got to start here. It's got to start with humility. If we do not have an attitude of humility in our attempt to work on our sin problem, then the next five courses of action that I'm going to present to you, that James presents to us, are going to be of no value whatsoever. So we start here. We become humble before the Lord. Remember, we want to be imitators of Christ, and if there was one person on the face of this earth who was humble, it was Jesus Christ. And we remember this. Again, the opposite of humility is being proud, is pride, and pride is one of those seven deadly sins. And we mentioned two of them last week because the brethren that James is talking about was struggling with them, and that was lust and envy. And now we have pride as part of this problem among the brethren. So what is that solution? The solution is to be humble, not proud. Very simple. So instead of being proud of your sins, and that's exactly what James is referring to, instead of being proud of your sins, brethren, you need to have some humility about that situation. And it says this, and when we do, it says in verse number 6, that he will give us a greater grace to overcome those sins. And in verse number 10, it says, when we do humble ourselves, he will exalt us. Some translations say that he will lift us up. And he will lift us up above and beyond our sinful desires. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. And we'll talk about humility again next week. So the first one, be humble, not proud. Number two, from James 4:7. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what does it mean to submit? Again, let's go to Webster's definition. Submit, to yield oneself to the authority or will of another, to surrender. We submit, we yield ourselves to the authority to another, and in this case, the another would be God and his word. That's who we become submissive to. You know, submit. That word submit is kind of a bad word in today's world. People don't like that word anymore, submit. And it's even become a bad word in some churches today. Ephesians chapter 5 says that women are supposed to submit to their husbands? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You can't say that today. Women are supposed to submit to their husbands, wives to their husbands? Well, that's what it says. That's what it says. If you want to see a marriage that works really, 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 really well, look at a marriage where the husband loves the wife like Christ loves the church. And then look at that wife who submits to that husband. And what you have is a snowball effect. The more she submits, the more he loves her. The more she submits, the more he loves her. And that just keeps on snowballing and snowballing. And you find out when you do it God's way, it really, really works. But it's a submission problem. It's an issue of authority. Jesus submitted to his authority, to his parents, in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Citizens of a country are supposed to submit to the governing authorities, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. The church is supposed to submit to Christ, Ephesians 5, 24. And servants are supposed to submit to their masters in Titus 2, 9, or as we would say today, employees should submit to their employers. And here in James, we are told to submit to God, to be under his authority, to be obedient to his commandments. A person who has truly humbled himself or herself will obey his commands and they will follow his leadership. They will be under God's submission. They will be submissive to his authority. So we have two: be proud, not humble, and be submissive to God's authority. Oh, the fill in the blank. Submit yourself to God. Of course, there it is. Forgot that. All right. Next one. And the last one. We're only going to do three today. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does it mean to resist? Again, Webster's definition. To exert oneself so as to counteract or defeat. So our fill in the blank is very simple. Resist the devil. Be humble, not proud. Submit to God's authority. Resist the devil. Boy, it sounds really simple. If we are friends with the world, if we're friends with the devil, then James 4:4 says this, then we are enemies with God. But we can also reverse that. If we are friends with God, then the devil is now a defeated foe. And every Christian needs to regard the devil as a defeated foe. We are told to resist, to exert oneself as to counteract or defeat the devil. We are told to resist the devil. Unfortunately, Christians today give the devil way too much credit. And they give the devil way too much power. There's a movement out there called the charismatic movement. They have a demon for every occasion. And they believe that these demons can inhabit Christians. Newsflash, my friends. Demons cannot inhabit Christians. Because Christians are inhabited by the Holy Spirit. So we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, not by any demons. I need to share this with you. Here is a partial list of the demons that these charismatic leaders will tell you that you may have. And there's a demon for every letter of the alphabet, just about. Okay? You may have. Are you ready? Folks, I did not make this up. This is from their websites, okay? You may have a demon of anger, a demon of bad luck, a demon of confusion, a demon of debt, a demon of envy or of fear. You may have a demon of greed or of hatred or insecurity. You may have the demon of justice, the demon of knowledge, or the demon of lust, or the demon of money. Don't get me started. The demon of nightmares, the demon of oppression, the demon of pride. And ready for this one? The demon of the Queen of Sheba. But you may have it. The demon of rage, the demon of sickness, the demon of trials, the demon of unforgiveness, the demon of vanity, the demon of wealth, and the last one, yes, you may have the demon of zombies. And Jennifer LeClaire, who is a prominent speaker in the charismatic movement, has encountered the sneaky squid demon. The sneaky squid demon. Demons can't inhabit Christians. We have the Holy Spirit. It's really that simple. But we still battle with the evil one, right? So we are told to resist the devil. So you know how to, the best way to resist the devil? The best way to resist the devil is this, because I know it works for me. And Jesus said these words. It can be found in four words. Jesus said these words in Matthew 16:23, and he says them in Mark 8:33. And he says this. If you want to know how to resist the devil, say this. Get behind me, Satan. If you want to resist the devil in your times of temptation, just say those four words out loud. Get behind me, Satan. So you have a moment where you're getting angry and you know you're going to lash out. and you know you're just going to let somebody else have it, and you feel it coming on, and that's that hot button, because Satan knows your hot button, and he's saying, Mike, just go right ahead, lash out at your wife or at those people or at that other person, because you know you want to do that and you want to get to them. And that's when Mike needs to say, get behind me, Satan. Trust me, it works. It works. Well, it works for me. It works for me. I just say those four words and I resist the devil. And it says, if you resist the devil, he will do what? He'll flee from you. And he goes away. Till the next opportune time, which there is a next opportune time, but that's just when you say it all over again. We do not love our sin. We can't go there. We need to hate our sin. We don't want to be like the world. We want to be like Christ. We have been called to be separate, and we have been called to imitate Christ. So let's review what we've learned so far from these 10 verses. The symptom, this is the one James is talking about. Quarrels, conflicts, fights, murders. You fill in the blank, because we all have our own symptom of some kind of sin or sins that we struggle with. The cause doesn't change. Maybe we're asking for the wrong things with the wrong motives. That might be the case. But I guarantee you, there is a war raging within each and every one of us. The old human condition versus the Holy Spirit. That will always happen. And now we know three ways that we can combat that sin that's happening in our lives. And it starts with, number one, be humble, not proud. We do not love our sin. We love the Word of God. Number two, submit yourselves to God. Be obedient to His commandments. Be under His authority and His Word, what His Word says. And then, number three, resist the devil. Resist the devil. What were those four words again? Next week, I want someone to come in here and say, you know what, Mike? I tried that, and by golly, it works. Because it will. It will. When you're tempted with whatever it is, try that and say it out loud. Get behind me, Satan. He's the prince of the air, right? He's the prince of the air. He hears you, and he'll get away from you until the next time. Now we know the first three steps to help resolve our sin problem. And it all begins with being humble. Because James says this, humble yourselves. That's where it's got to start. And when it starts there, the other five come rather easily. Let's go to God in a time of prayer.